It is Thursday, the 7th of August, and this is episode 217 of Digital Outbox. Easy for me to say. Welcome to another episode. It's been a little while since we last spoke to you. The Commonwealth Games have come and gone, but we're still sat here recording Digital Outbox. So I'm Chris, joined by Ian as ever.
Good evening, Chris.
You enjoy the Commonwealths?
I did. It was very good.
It was really good, actually.
I took in a number of events. Glasgow was very, very different. And
its best behaviour.
Honestly, all the stuff that you saw on TV with people saying, oh, there's a real buzz and, you know, this is looking great. It did. The city looked fantastic.
Yeah, there are things you can't put price on as well. You know, that the feel-good factor.
Somebody has stolen a Clyde today. So
stolen?
Yeah. So you know how Clyde was the mascot and you kind of saw it all around the place? So there was a number of big kind of concrete ones and you could do a Clyde trail, which took me around different bits of Glasgow, and somebody stole it. And a couple have been vandalised in the last couple of days because there's nobody around the areas anymore. Yeah, so there's nobody kind of patrolling. A couple have been vandalised. One gets stolen last night. Welcome to Glasgow.
What are they going to do with it?
Say, hello, Clyde.
There's a front room somewhere with a Clyde in it.
The council are now going to take them all down. They're going to leave them to the end of the school holidays, which is only next week. But they're going to take them down now because they're disappearing.
But what are they going to do with them?
They talked about preserving them for the future. It was like, really?
Really? You might as well let people put them in their bedrooms.
But it was actually really good. Really, really good.
Yeah, I would have loved to have come to watch some of it, but again, didn't get any tickets, so boo.
Boo.
Boo. Right, let's get on with some news then, shall we? Some tech news. And we're gonna start today with more experiments on users. This time, OkCupid, a dating website, has come out and admitted that it had deliberately mismatched people in an attempt to see whether actually matching people is worthwhile in the slightest. And the outcome of that has been pretty much useless because people just seem to get on if they just say they're going to get on. But more of the point of this story is the fact that this is more social experimentation. And more people are sort of up in arms.
Funnily enough, I'm not as fussed about this one.
No, I'm not.
The Facebook one, I was really bothered because it was like, you know, we're seeing if we can actually depress people.
Yes, the outcome was a bit.
Is more them saying, so, you know, let's turn photos off and just see if we connect people. If we connect people without photos, and then when they do meet them, do they then, is there more chance of them staying together because they've not had that photo match? Because
it wasn't, you know, just photos though, was it? It was
no,
just
was
deliberately
four different things.
Deliberately taking their algorithm and seeing who was a bad match and then saying that they were, you know, just literally writing on screen, you're an awesome match or whatever, exceptionally good match. And then people kind of believed that because there was an algorithm there, they kind of had that in. So, so it's an interesting experiment. As with all these things, it is interesting.
But it's like people that believe in like astrology. And they kind of go on a date and they say, oh, you're a Scorpio. Oh, like that's going to mean something.
Yeah, that's single most off-putting thing, I'd say.
But at least I can now blame technology and why I'm still single.
Yeah, right.
Okay, Cupid, have been giving me bad matches.
I'm going to unsubscribe right now. I guess if you're paying them to try and give you good matches, it's a little bit galling that they may be deliberately giving you bad ones. But then again, if it doesn't matter, if you end up, you know, getting on like a house on fire, suddenly them coming to tell you you're actually a bad match isn't going to affect that. I have every confidence to say. But it's still this thing about, you know, there's data there, there's people on good, a trust basis of giving you that data, and then they're using it in these slightly different ways. But like you say, I think this is a slightly different use case. It's just, you know, remember your data is being used for these things. It's a bit, for me, it's a bit more like the, are we going to put these products on this shelf in the supermarket or this one? Which one works best? And does it make any difference at all? And that's kind of what they're looking to find out.
And as all these programs tell us, if when we go supermarket shopping, when you go to Tesco after this, you know you're getting manipulated and you don't realize it.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And it's born out of hours and hours of this, you know, observation and you being part of an experiment just by going to the supermarket. But it doesn't really sort of affect the people that, you know, sorry, it doesn't really stop the people getting up in arms and being a bit...
No, and it wouldn't surprise me if somebody... I mean, I actually didn't think of the angle that you'd brought up about the I've paid money, you know, to get a good match.
Yeah, you're supposed to give me good matches if people are going to battle.
And that angle instantly makes me think there was some crazy yank would sue, because I read today that somebody's suing Sony because of the... What's the first person shooter that they bring out? Shadow, whatever, right. I can't remember its name. But they're suing them because the multiplayer's not 1080p.
That's as much as I've got to say on that.
Yeah. So if they're suing Sony because the multiplayer's not 1080p, then
they're going to sue because they've got a 30% match rather than a 90% match. Yeah. But I think they've just, say, in some ways, OkCupid has just, you know, proved that they're a bit pointless anyway. So, UK driverless cars. This is awesome. So, we are going to start seeing them at the beginning of 2014. We're supposed to be seeing them at the end of 2013, but they're just trying to figure out the dot the I's and cross the T's with regulation and also finding out which cities are going to be the guinea pigs, I guess.
Yes.
The squashed guinea pigs.
This is all very exciting.
Yeah. I guess the only thing about this story which displeased me was them saying this will keep us at the cutting edge of this technology, and you think no it won't, because the Google in Los Angeles has been doing this for over a year now, and they've clocked up loads of miles, and there are other cities around Europe who are already doing it. So really we're just about clinging on the coattails of the real people pioneering along. Nevertheless, I think this is great.
I do as well, because And there was loads of, you know, we can't do this, and this is the start of technology taking over our lives, and it's like, great.
Already there, done.
Yeah.
And it will probably be a lot safer for it.
Exactly. When you see some of the loons that drive around right now.
Oh, you know.
It's crazy.
I know I'm getting old, but there are some. I think the road's just getting busier and busier and busier. It just makes everyone turns into a loon eventually, I think, because it's just impossible.
And no matter how... I'll hold up my. I've made loads of mistakes driving. You know, nobody's perfect, but at the same time, it's when you see other people, you're like, "Come on!" It's
definitely some clueless people, aren't they? But I think it's great for, you know, people and the engineers and all that kind of artificial intelligence, and also working out the systems and the flows of all this. In essence, it could actually solve a lot of. Commuter issues, if
congestion issues, if parking issues,
if computers take over, there's a good chance that things will actually improve a great deal. Certainly take away the crunch that we're coming towards now of the numbers of cars on roads,
and it's bizarre, and I wouldn't give it up either, but I mean, when carpooling was talked about, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, and it's just never really taken off, but the amount of people that just go to work in one car. And yeah. There's only one person in the car.
Yeah, yeah. If you look at the roads, it was a buzzword for a little while, wasn't it? But that seems to disappear again.
I wonder if some of this stuff would help.
Well, equivalent of Boris bikes, right?
Yeah, you know, there's an autonomous car. You just go in it.
Yeah, yeah. Just here's 4 seats. It's going. There you go. Get in. So, yeah. Like, you know, an autonomous taxi that. It's cheaper, maybe.
Johnny Cab.
They'd have to put some sort of digital recording in the front. All right, Gavna, where are you off to?
No, I just think they have a digital outbox playing as you go along.
Of course they will. But yeah, so this is looking, they're looking currently for 3 cities to be guinea pigs, and there is a 10 million fund to cover their setup costs and things like that, and that will be divided between those 3 cities. And I guess cities have got to balance off the people will be naturally cautious of this. But if they can get some of this kind of technology embedded in their city for free, then great.
And I mean, the government's making a play for more of this kind of tech. I guess it's kudos almost, because they were talking about yesterday, and I was going to put it in, I thought there's no point, this is just fluff, about using Bitcoin as a currency and all these kind of digital, you know, cryptocurrencies, and how they want to be at the forefront of all this. And I think this is, again, if they don't, it's the same as drones is going to be the same. I mean, it's all right saying, oh, we're going to ban drones, but it's, you can see it's going to be the future in one way or the other. And this is the same, you know, unless you join the party, you're going to get, oh.
Well, Glasgow gets chosen for everything, so I'm pretty sure you're going to be quite happy with your...
One thing we get chosen for this year, and you're so bitter.
One thing, though, it's been broadband. You're always first for broadband, and you're always now your technology city or whatever it is. And then now you'll be getting driverless cars, and then Scotland will suddenly be a good place to be.
I was waiting for you to say independent, but it's not going to happen.
not after the debates that have been happening this week, right? So kind of combined with the kind of automation of these cars driving, there's Just Park is an app that we have touched on previously. I think it was called something different, like something Park on My Drive or something. But BMW have now integrated this app into their Minis, and there's talk of them integrating across the rest of their range. And this is an app that goes and finds you a car parking space. So you can go and book a space, pay for it, and then it will take you to it. And BMW have given them a lot of kudos because they've now integrated it into their cars. Well, sorry, in their Minis now.
Yeah, and I remember vaguely talking about like driveways and parking spaces and kind of like you could rent them out or you could make them available. But it kind of passed me by as an actual, you know, was it still going? And I saw that this has come out today and BMW have invested in Just Park. So they're a kind of part investor in it as well. So there's a BMW iVenture, a venture capital arm of BMW, have taken a stake in.
So it's not sort of surprising they're first to jump, really.
No. But the video that they did looked fairly well. I mean, it was a fairly bit noddy, but it looked fairly well integrated. You know, they plug the iPhone in, the Mini's nice big dash then displays it. You can select parking space and blah blah blah, and then up pops a map to tell you where to go.
And this is very much a UK thing at the moment. We're actually ahead of the rest of it. Even though this app is available in other countries, they haven't quite picked up on it like us. Sort of we're leading at the front, and it's an incredibly useful app. I'd say it is a thing. I know people that use it quite happily and regularly.
And as you say, it's a thing. It totally passed me by. I mean, I'm just on the site just now, and I you go and search for Glasgow, and there's loads of space available.
Yep.
And at one point, I was really put off because there was one close to me, and it was £120, and I was like, "Come on, who's going to put this for a? You're basically buying it for like 3 months.
Yeah.
So you're buying it for a block off.
Block off. Yeah.
But some other ones are really well priced. You know, it's like £5. For a day.
And I know that at the time we talked about it last, they were still talking about the how do you deal with this on a legal basis, especially if something happens to the car while it's on your drive. But I think they've probably got that all sorted now. Anyway, good stuff. Apple and Samsung, they're agreeing to, if not tie the knot, then they're at least agreeing to stop arguing, right?
So all the patent arguments that are not in the US have been dropped.
Right.
Which is actually quite a lot when you go and look at the
There's quite
many...
a few countries in the world.
Exactly. So I guess it's American ones that always got the big press and maybe a couple of European ones, but there was a lot happening around the world. So this is a good step forward, but they are still going to argue in the American court.
I wonder whether the actual terms of that agreement to cease litigation have not been come forward, but I wonder whether they're using the US as their test case and therefore... they'll agree to do the licensing based on whatever the outcome of that is. If that is what they've agreed to, again, that's just pure speculation, then I don't think I'd have taken those terms as Samsung, not in Apple's backyard.
But Sam, there's some interesting things happening with Samsung. So there's some really nice stats came out through the week which showed you they're not in the lead in any country. Mm. You know, you can go and look at certain countries where it's Apple leading or it's this other manufacturer leading, but Samsung don't have that big lead anywhere. And another thing is like they've been paying over loads of money to Microsoft. Remember there was that whole Android deal?
Yeah.
5 months ago, they just, even though it was all legal and it was after a court case, etc., they just decided to stop paying it.
Right.
So Microsoft are now going to go back. Microsoft are now going to go back to court because they're saying, well, hold on, you've paid us for all those months. You can't just say, well, can't be arsed. And that's what basically just to say, we're not paying it.
Maybe that's it. Maybe
they're still making oodles of money, right? They're still making oodles of money.
But they're spending it all on court cases.
Well, they spend loads in marketing, but also they've got that.
They don't spend loads on marketing. They just go and take pictures of the latest iPhone. How close can we get to that?
That's not no. They spend loads, and they also spend loads on manufacturing. Mm-hmm. And I mean, up until now, obviously, there was loads of bits inside an iPhone were all Samsung.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and Apple have said that they're going to be releasing their new iPhones September, so not very far away.
So yeah, this is the rumored kind of, this is their show. So this would be September 9th, which is a Tuesday, and it's the kind of same date that's been the last 3 years. So now it's into overdrive. You know, is it two iPhones? Is it going to be smartwatches? Is it going to be this and that? Are we going to see? And let's just wait and see.
It's going to be new phones.
That's, it's only four weeks away.
Hold yourself back. And Samsung have also said that they're going to be releasing their latest phones on September the 3rd, just one week ahead.
I had to laugh because it was on Tuesday when this kind of stuff about Apple came out, and they said, like, you know, it's going to be September 9th. They've not said it. There's a whole other number of reliable websites. And Shaq sent me a text saying, I bet you Samsung announced something the week before. And ta-da. Sure enough, 5 hours later, September 3rd.
Yeah. They know what they need to do. Three, the phone company has confirmed that it's actually selling all of its handsets now unlocked. So you are no longer need to unlock your phone off of a particular network for them. And I wonder whether, do you reckon others are going to follow?
I'm not sure.
Is it a big thing for a consumer? That's the thing. For most people who have a handset and have a contract, they're stuck with that contract for 2 years, and by that stage they want a new handset anyway. So for, I think for most people it's a non-issue, but I think more and more certainly the law wants to separate out the contract from the handset, and so I think this becomes more important, and maybe it will become more important going forward.
And I was going to say, I think it will be, maybe, you know, if they, because I think there's an investigation into the whole mobile contract and network right now, and I think if that kind of changed, then this would be a lot more important.
It does seem ridiculous that you can tie a device to a network. It's, you know, they are independent things. It's, you know, like the gas doesn't belong to the pipes that are there. You know, it's just, it's one of those things.
I also think the markets, we've talked about it before, I would never have said, you know, 8 years ago that every year I'll spend £700 on a phone.
Madness. Yeah, here you are. Here, spending £700 on a phone every year.
And whether it's 650 or 700, but I'll pretty much probably spend that again in September. It's an awful, sell mine.
You wouldn't have bought a laptop that often for that much money.
No. But then I'm using it loads.
Yeah. I mean, it's just one of those things that, you know, no one foresaw that. When iPhones first came out and they released the price of them, it was like, how much? Because we were used to getting to the Nokia phase of, you know, they were literally, they almost paid you. to have their phones. So,
well, there was I still remember the Sony Ericssons, and they were like £100 or something. And you'd be like, you want £100? I'm not giving you £100. Yeah, exactly. I can go to Orange and get it for free. Well, go. I will. Yeah. And you would just go to Orange and get it for free, and you'd just port your number over, and you'd think, that's craziness. Imagine paying £100 for a phone. That's craziness.
Now you're paying £700. For an unlocked one, yeah.
Now I'm queuing, and I'm paying £700 for a phone.
Yeah, you're a month ahead of time getting very excited about a phone you haven't even seen or heard of, that you're going to go buy it. Yay! Right, so UK privacy, we've another step forward on this. So they've stopped now chasing the websites that they want to shut down, or they haven't stopped, that's a lie. They're still shutting down websites, but they are now going after proxies which let you still get to those websites. So where we've got rulings that say such and such a site should now no longer be accessible, and ISPs are obliged to block those sites, proxy server operators who circumnavigate those blocks, however they so do, are also now apparently fair game.
It's probably predictable.
Yeah, I think it was.
But I think it was just the way they've went about it.
Problem is, how do you define this proxy server? And it's, you know, I guess it depends how they promote and advertise themselves, right? Because effectively, just, proxy server is just a VPN connection.
Yep, and I think initially it got, and this one, I'm trying to remember its name, is it Immunicity?
Ooh, I don't know.
Yeah, I should probably read the articles that I put in. I think it was Immunicity. Yeah, it's Immunicity. I think initially it came out and it was very much, you know, you can't access Pirate Bay, you can't access this, you can't access that. Years, you know, go through Immunicity, and you, but I remember going to the website. I'm sure what they were saying was it was more about all the blocks that the UK government is bringing in, and this just gives you back your access to the internet as we believe you should see it. So it didn't talk about
There wasn't specifically going for this sort of content.
No. But if you go to the website now, I mean, there is a kind of scary police message up that says, you know, this site was helping to, you know, in fact, I'll go there just now. I'm pretty much just still there.
But say, what I don't get is it kind of is how do they, where's that cutoff line and who's deciding where that cut line is? Again, it sounds very, very much like content providers and rights owners are the ones defining their own lines.
Yep. So if you go there now, it just says City of London Police. You have Tritax as a website that's under criminal investigation by the UK Police Intellectual Property Crime Unit. This site is being investigated for online copyright infringement, but it's not infringing copyright.
No.
And that's been the contentious point of this one.
They're saying it's facilitating. It's a bit like, I guess, a market stall is on a, you know, whoever's responsible for that particular market, they're saying they're responsible for that market stall that's got some dog leg? What's
that? I was going to say that's like a golf course, is it not?
Yeah, they're selling golf courses. Their fault.
But then it says, for a safe and reliable guide to online content, please visit Pro Music, Music Matters, findanyfilm.com, the content map, and then it says supported by BPI, Fact, not heard of Fact for ages, IFPI, and the Publishers Association. And there's some websites today saying basically Hollywood have asked the police to take this down and they've obliged.
Yeah. There you go. So if you do use proxies, again, be careful because they're probably going to be looking at the user data. So if there's a proxy collecting user data, I'm sure they'll be investigating.
I actually tried it this morning. The proxy still works.
So I
don't quite, I think they've just taken down the actual website that gave you access to it. But if you've got the proxy.pack file, it still all works.
Okay, so they haven't actually taken the server down itself. There you go. Twitch, right. So there's been loads moving around Twitch. Twitch is the online gaming live stream service and sort of video of gaming archive. And there's been lots and lots of talk that they're going to be taken over by YouTube. Not by YouTube, by Google, sorry.
Yeah, well, it's the same.
Yes, obviously the same.
Yeah.
But different in that same way. And for a lot of money. So there's money touted around like $1 billion.
$1 billion. Yeah, and this is weird because I'm sure it was around about February, March time, there was an article that says YouTube and Google are interested in buying Twitch, and it all got kind of poo-pooed. And then 2 weeks ago, I mean, it was July 25th, The Guardian and a whole other website says it's a done deal. It's just not been announced, but Google have, or YouTube have, bought Twitch for $1 billion. That whole e-sports market and all the video streaming, it's massive. Twitch is on every platform now. So if you look at both
Twitch
Xbox
was effectively the chosen child, wasn't it, for all these services?
And this spawned out of Justin TV. Mm. So Justin TV was the original kind of video streaming service.
Yeah, and just as they got hacked and pulled down for all their people streaming services, they found a market that they really worked with, and that was the gaming market.
Twitch, and I didn't realize at first, because when Twitch first started, I just thought it was this fairly niche. You know, somebody stood this up. It's got a lot of support
for
from
me.
Somebody.
For me, it is, and I think there's a lot of attitude that it is. But if you look at the figures, it's not.
No. So it looks like Google have bought them, and as you said at the start there, that the big thing about this is that they've made some really drastic changes in the last week. Justin TV shuttered, just gone, and it's almost like they just put a post out and said, by the way, we're gone, and content not there anymore. It's just gone. Whether that's because it becomes such a niche market, I don't think it is. I think it's just.
I think the problem is because they're
focused.
Now being bought effectively by people who have to be legit. They know that most of their market is for streaming of sports shows and stuff that otherwise you have to pay to watch. So I think that's why they've done it. They just have to get rid of that illegitimate side of their business.
And the new one that happened last night is cutting down on unlicensed music. So one of the things about if you go on any of these Twitch channels, and it makes me chuckle, actually, because have you watched any of the Twitch videos? I guess you must have.
It's never interested me at all.
The bit that gets me, and sometimes I'll watch a video and think, that's a good bit of gameplay. But see the ones where it's just somebody commenting on somebody playing a game? It's like, why would you watch that for like hours? But the kids love it.
Yeah.
Kids are just there. And you see these videos, and they're obviously green screening themselves. It's a really professional setup. They're green screened in at the bottom corner. They've got pay buttons everywhere. You can donate to them. It's all set up really legit. They've got chat streams running.
It's, and then the, it's the new unboxing, isn't it?
Yeah, and then they've got the video of the game, and it looks really smart. And usually also somebody will have a bit of music playing. And yeah. this is the controversial bit. So they've come out yesterday and said, unlicensed music, if you've got it playing, we'll mute your video.
And this that includes music that could be even be in the background, just being picked up by the microphone, but it also can even include music that is identified in a game itself. Where I guess the game has the right to play that music, but it does not have the right to stream it. So they're saying that any live broadcaster will not be subject to this muting. But any when you're watching back a broadcast on that's been recorded, it will block 30-minute chunks of time on mute if they identify this music. And apparently it's a little bit oversensitive, as you might imagine. But and you have to, you know, it's one of those things where they take all the audio away and you have to fight to get it back if you believe you do have that right to play that.
So there was a big $10 million international Dota tournament over the last couple of weeks. So those have been basically muted now. And also, I mean, it's Valve make the game and some of their Twitch videos have been muted because it's playing in-game music. And it's like, but they own that music.
I mean, the thing is, they probably don't. They own the rights to play that music in their game and they don't necessarily own it to actually broadcast it. That's where all the vagaries of all this go. But how any music, you know, can legitimately say, and without, you know, just lying out their ass, that actually this affects music sales in any way other than a positive way. Is far, far beyond my understanding.
No.
You know, I'm not going to log into Twitch just to hear in the background some music. So I don't have to buy it.
I think it's just there's always a massive community now behind Twitch. And this is probably a bit of a jolt because this is like the third major change in 2 weeks.
26.4 million subscribers.
Yeah. Oh, it's huge. I mean, if you look at all the big YouTube channels now.
Oh, no, that's just one of the channels.
Yeah. If you look at the YouTube channels, most of them now are these kind of game streaming ones.
Yep.
And that's why Google are looking to buy Twitch. That's where the money is right now.
It's a growing thing. They know people are watching it. It gets them views. Plus, it gets them into that market. So it's all those things. That, you know, again, it comes down to their views. But yeah, and they've also changed the way they're storing these videos. So they're no longer going to offer forever storage, which they did offer before. You basically these things will last for 14 days and that's it, they'll be then gone.
And it's and even when I read that I thought that's mental. If you think people are streaming like day hours, after day, yeah, after,
yeah,
day,
yeah.
And it's not like a half hour, it is hours, and here we're offering limited storage. It's like, wow.
Yeah. And now they're saying if you want to last longer than 14 days then you can use a service button and that will export to YouTube in 2 hour chunks. So YouTube is very much their kind of now archiving aspect of that. But yeah, we've seen it more recently that there are more and more kind of live events being streamed. And I think maybe we'll see Twitch is that kind of live streaming.
Oh, I think it's just the way it's embedded in it. I mean, it's just not something that we tend to do in the game, but there's nothing to stop us firing up Titanfall and just broadcasting it live on Twitch and everybody laughing at us. Saying,
it's not
going to
happen.
Like,
you know? yeah. And say it's a thing, just not for me. So Xbox One has announced a digital tuner. So effectively we'll no longer need a set-top box, and therefore the Xbox will be able to watch TV effectively. It will be able to record it, pause it, and all that kind of nice stuff without the need for that pass-through, which would have been nice had they done that beforehand. I guess European market's just different from America.
Yeah. So yeah, it's £25.
Yeah.
Looks quite nice.
If you're playing games and you just happen to want to like flick to a TV channel, well, then it's awesome. But I it's still relatively limited, right?
Yeah. I saw a few posts today with people saying this is just what they wanted because the Xbox is maybe in another room and it's not near.
And therefore it's a great TV device then, yeah.
Yeah. The only bit that's a bit weird is they're not allowing you to record. You can pause, but you can't record, which is just bizarre.
Yeah, that is strange. I don't know.
And I don't know if that's one of their, because I think it comes out October. So I'm guessing this is one of the things to get it out there. Maybe next January, February, it'll be
an update to do it.
Software update, yeah. Because it seems the obvious thing just to say record that.
No, 100%. Yeah. But it does, and for that very, that's a good use case is that, you know, the way the Xbox is in the back bedroom, It's connected to the TV. This just enables it to be on and be controlling that media in that room in a sensible way. Where, I mean, obviously, for people with, you know, that are already on Freeview or whatever, then that's fine. But if you've got Sky, then you're obviously not going to want to have this as your main TV because it's a reduced, you know, channel set.
Did you ever go back and try the pass-through when the fix came out?
I never went. I never bothered plugging it all back in again.
No, because I never
having
tried.
Two boxes on just seemed pointless.
Yeah, exactly.
It was my outcome. Okay. EA, in its endless money grabbing, has decided it's going to come up with a subscription service. A subscription service on top of a subscription service. So this is $3.99. EA Access subscription, effectively $19.99 a year, and that will allow you early access to games. It's sort of early access to play a game before it comes out, and that's kind of the definition of early access. But you don't have to pay for that, so it's almost like a super demo for maybe 5 days.
And I know you're going to shoot me.
Yeah, you're going to like it, yeah.
I think this might be good value.
How could it be good value when it was there was nothing before?
No, but it wasn't nothing. You used to, so with the last 2 years of FIFA and Madden, and there was I think you paid a tenner and you got it 3 or 4 days. You could do a digital download before you got the disc, mm-hmm. and you got to play it 3 or 4 days in advance. I know I did it 1 year. I know Lefty did it, I think, the last 2 years, and has loved it because he gets Madden and FIFA and probably the basketball one.
And they're probably the only days it works around launch, right? Until everyone else gets it.
So if he's already paying a tenner for that,
yeah.
And then you look at the downloadable content, it's 10% less for members. And if you add that up over the downloadable content you tend to download, I reckon for a lot of people, this would probably work out the same price, if not maybe a bit cheaper doing this.
And if you're interested in just playing the beginnings of games, you know, to see whether you're going to like it, is a great way of doing that. It's going to chew through your bandwidth, but I agree, there's something to this. It's not pointless.
And it's weird because EA never joined, see all these Xbox, what are they called? Like Games with Gold, that's what it's called. Mm-hmm. These free games that are coming out every month. EA's not partaking in any of that.
No.
But I'm wondering, and because Sony came out and said, we don't see this as good value, because Sony does, it's equivalent, they've got their PlayStation Plus, which is you pay to play online, but also you get free games a month. And this month's one's excellent. It's Fez. It's free.
Okay.
Which is a fantastic game. Yeah. If you've not played it, but Sony were like, no, we don't see the value in this.
No. So,
it's not on their platform at all. But you don't need to be an Xbox Gold member to get this.
Okay, so it's not a subscription on top of a subscription. Then it's just
but to be honest, I can't see many people.
The problem is you're paying to then have to pay again still. I mean, they're only saying it's going to give you discounts on say downloadable content and stuff like that. So it's
no, but you can also play FIFA 14, Madden 25, Peggle 2, and Battlefield 4 right now.
Right. Okay.
So if you hadn't bought any of those games, you pay your £4 and you can play those games now.
Yeah, but you can buy them in the shops now for about £3.
Yeah, but you couldn't buy all those four for £4.
But you're on a subscription, aren't you?
The interesting bit will be, when does FIFA 15 join?
Yeah.
How
long is it? Is it 6 months? Is it 12 months? Is it?
Yeah.
You know, all those.
Exactly.
Maybe as soon as they release the next one, that'll be when
I was surprised because £4 a month, and you think, well, that's a lot. Because over a year, that's another £40. But then you see it's £20 a year, and you think, that doesn't sound that bad.
Mm.
And maybe I'm just being naive.
I don't know. Like you say, especially if you're not interested in playing the latest game and you haven't bought the previous ones, then maybe this is a great way of doing that. It's them selling those prior games for £20 a year, basically.
Another thing was, but I'm seeing downloadable content, it was also digital purchases of games. It was 10% off.
And yeah, but they're already about 50% higher.
Yeah. I'm all for that, but see if I can buy a game, you know, from Amazon for £40 and I can buy it from the Xbox store for £40 and this gives me 10% off, then great.
But it's not
£60.
Yeah.
It's £20 more typically, or £15 more than the Xbox and PS. Yeah, no, I'm right. It's £20 more than the PS4, it's £25 more typically.
Yeah.
And Watch Dogs was £65 and I got it for £40.
Yeah. And so 10% off doesn't even bring you back down to the sort of standard area. So it's
because one of the angles is secondhand discs, you know, so it cuts that market out, because if you buy it digitally and they can get more people to buy digitally, it stops the manufacturer discs, which is cheaper for them in the long run.
The only reason they don't do that is because of the games market, the Christmas market. So,
but you're not, but it's all right saying that the RRP for these games was £60 and Amazon's under, and it's like Amazon are never going to sell a game at £60.
No, you know, you'd never, no one can do that. No one can do possibly. That is the end of the news for this week, or this fortnight, as it were. But you have got some picks.
I have two similar picks. And they both try and solve the how do you get access to content problem. It's not a big problem, but previously I'd always rely on RSS, mm-hmm. and you'd sift through thousands of feeds to surface out the nuggets. And now it's like, and you're probably the same. Maybe you're probably not as bad as me. You're good with these things. But I've got hundreds of people that I follow on Twitter. And if I'm busy at work, I will literally open up Tweetbot and it will say, there's 1,200 tweets, and it's like,
yeah, no. I'm not that bad. Even if I leave it a whole weekend, it's only just about 700 or something like that.
But it's just like, no, I'll just skip. But then you know there's some stuff in there that you probably would have been nice to see.
Yeah.
So these two kind of apps try and solve it. The first one's a web app and an iOS app called Nuzzle. So that's nuzzel.com. And the app's just called Nuzzle. And all that does is you hook up Twitter and Facebook accounts, and then you can pick between the last hour, 8 hours, or 24 hours, and you can sort links that your friends have shared, and you can sort it by number of people. So if you've got, so if I took a look just now, and I did before the start of the podcast, the kind of first pick was, there was five of my Twitter friends had shared out the same link.
Okay.
So that's at the top of the list. And it was of interest.
It's looking what your friend's doing of the things, all the things you've missed recently. These are the ones that we reckon are the buzz.
And it's just things that they've linked. And fair enough, it does get quite noisy because you just get, you could put a link up to Academy Racer. Mm-hmm. Henry could have put a link up to a running website, and if it will show those as well. And I might not be interested in those, but it is surfacing.
Could you not be interested in Academy Racer? Blasphemy.
That is blasphemy. sorry. But it's a nice way of doing it.
Yeah.
And you can also sort it by time. So see, if you don't want to sift through all the tweets, again, it will just pull out the, here's what people have shared today, rather than here's all the tweets, here's all the teenage angst.
So you have to sign up. Do you link your Facebook and your Twitter accounts? So is that
you
how
can
it
do
goes?
Either or both.
Right, okay. So my only comment on this is that they have not embraced good design yet. And maybe that's coming. I think it's a particularly ugly looking site.
The website is pretty bad. The actual app itself is actually very
right, nice. So it's better than on iOS.
Yeah. So if I just go to the app, it's a very clean, straightforward app. So there's my first one is the most fascinating profile you'll ever read about a guy in his boring startup that six people have shared. The next is 10 questions about NASA's impossible space drive, Mac Stories deals. Okay. So it's all. But it's a lot nicer than the website.
They need to employ in a nice designer. Okay. I mean, there's plenty out there. To be honest, they'd be better off just buying a pre-built template, I think.
But the thing is, it's free.
Yeah,
and this is the problem with all these things. It's like, so they've stood up a free service, which is actually quite nice. But how are they going to survive?
Yep.
No. Adverts. When you join, you end up getting your newsfeed as public. So you can go to nuzzle.com/sweeper. And you'll see what I'm seeing on the iOS app right now.
Right, okay.
And you can then see other people's, and then you can find other followers, and it goes on. The second one is from a chap called Andy Bio, who is behind Upcoming and a whole lot of other different things in the tech community. He's done loads of stuff over the years. This is just something he built for himself, and it's called belong.io. And all it was it's all fueled by Twitter. It's a link aggregator. But what it favors, rather than just news and articles, it favors new projects and sites. So his algorithm is obviously focusing and pulling out certain mm-hmm. topics only. And it's just a website. So you go to the website.
Yeah, and it's just a list.
It's just a list of interesting things. So there you go. The first one that's there was also the first one that was on Nuzzle. So again, it's obviously doing similar things. But it is very focused on what suits him. He ran this privately for the last 4 or 5 months, and he just thought, it would tell people that it's there.
And this is, these are kind of raw experiments into data mining effectively. And then how do you then surface that up into a usable and interesting feed? And like I say, maybe this is the kind of RSS type replacement. Problem is that things get lost, you know, certain things get undue bias in all algorithms, really, don't they? So you never hear those minor little nuggets.
And obviously because he's mining Twitter, he stays in Portland, so you're getting some stuff that's all around Portland and America, not necessarily, you know, focused
different weight on different location,
whereas if I look at Nuzzle, you know, it's because it's people that I follow, because I'm following a lot more people in the UK, you are getting more of that bias rather than a lot of the sites that do are very, you know, all weighted to America.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
yeah,
a couple of little free apps or sites.
That's definitely worth having a look at both those. They're good. Thank you very much. So that is the end of the podcast, and you can find out more about who we are and what we do at digitaloutbox.com. You can talk to us. Email is info@digitaloutbox.com, and we're on Twitter and Skype as Digital Outbox. My racing blog is at academyracer.co.uk, and I'm on Twitter as CheesyUK if you want to follow. Ian, where can we find you?
My blog is iandee.net. I'm on Twitter as Sweeper, and I'm just looking at a Guardian story, which is 15,000 people are currently watching a fish play Pokemon on Twitch. It's 21,000 now.
Wow.
21,502 people. I am there.
You are one.
So, yeah, there's a fish that is currently playing a Game Boy game.
Wow.
He's playing Pokemon Red Blue. So there's a camera over the top of his fish tank, and when he goes to a certain area, it moves the joystick.
Wow. Okay. Just a quick note. I could well be on Channel 4 this weekend at Sunday at 7 a.m. if you want to tune in. No guarantees that I'll be on that one, but I'll definitely be on Motors TV. First episode or first airing is Saturday at 5:20 p.m.
I thought your races were very good from last weekend.
Yeah, it would make good TV race, so fingers crossed.
I was also amazed at the post that you put up, which was the guy who had all the offs at that corner at Brands. So how many people were going
someone sat at the top of Brands Hatch with a camcorder over Friday, Saturday and Sunday and just recorded all the spins, and lasted over 10 minutes.
What about it was the one where it was the three Mazdas and two went off and the guy kind of went in between them?
Just had the small gap in between it.
And it was the small gap with smoke. It was very Days of Thunder-esque.
Yes, club racing is
drive
awesome.
Through it, Cole.
They know where to go and capture these moments. But yeah, club racing, it's awesome, man.
Yeah, and also the guy with the Union Jack in his car. To be fair,
there are actually three Union Jack cars. So it's not. In fact, there might be four. So divide that by four.
He was still off about five times himself.
Yeah. So a couple of those never made it home after the weekend either.
Oh
yeah, never mind.
There were some big crashes.
There were a few bumps and scrapes.
Bless.
Bit of oil. So yeah,
you're leading the championship.
I am currently in the lead of the championship. Yes, it's all good. Going into the next Croft next. North Yorkshire. That's a pain in the ass.
You'll fit right in.
I'm not sure what you're just saying. Anyway, that's the end of the podcast. So
with your accent.
With my North Yorkshire accent, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I watched the two brothers who do the triathlon.
The Brownlees.
And I was like, there's Chris. Anyway.
Yeah. I don't think I look like a Brownlee.
No.
Maybe both of them side by side.
and a dad.
We will speak to you next week. Goodbye.
Cheerie bye.